Well, this guy first came to prominence back in 1981 when he played support with his band for the Rolling Stones and their US tour. He sold more than 15 million albums and 8,000 live shows he's done. He's been to the country many a time. He's about to return. It's about 6 o'clock in the evening in the US. Well, somewhere between Mexico and Canada, otherwise the government will maybe jump on me from a distance. George Thorogood, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, Murray, believe me.
An amazing tour. You're about to kick off. You've got about 30 dates. You start here in Australia, you're going through New Zealand and back up to Canada. Mate, you cannot keep a good man down, can you?
That's a nice way of putting it, Murray. I've never heard it quite put that way, but I'll have to remember that one. We're very fortunate that the band is still in demand at this time.
What a back catalogue. Obviously, all the classics, Bad to the Bone, I Drink Alone, one bourbon, one scotch, and of course, one beer. But Treat Her Right and Get a Haircut introduce you to a younger audience. So you certainly span the generations, George.
Well, that helps. You know, it was Australia was a big help with that because we discovered the song Get a Haircut in Australia, in Cairns. To tell you the truth, in 1972, I believe it was, we heard the song. And so, you know, we heard that tune, and we said, man, that tune was made for us. So you played a big part in that.
That's amazing.
That tune, it is. We went there on the idea, we finally got a day off, and we went fishing on Lee Marvin's boat.
Yeah.
He used to fish on. And we were staying in Cairns, and they said he was a bar he hung out in called the Black Marlin. And we were real tired. We'd gotten up early, but we said, well, at least got to go there and have an Australian beer. I mean, excuse me, a BMA, and we had a beer. And there was a musical comedy team playing, and they played the song Get a Haircut. And the second we heard it, we said, well, that's for us. So if we had never gone to the Black Marlin, we would have never heard it. And if it wasn't for Lee Marvin, we'd never gone to the Black Marlin.
that connection with Cairns is something, you know, because I actually did a bit of research on you before this interview, but I was never aware of that. So that's amazing. So 5th of November, he's coming back. The Black Marlin Bar, well, I tell you what, there's a bit of history in the streets of Cairns, and I guess getting a haircut might be on the cards as well, George.
Well, it'll be on our card when we go play there.
Now, look, you know, speaking of having a beer in Cairns, g'day, mate. I couldn't believe this. You went to the Brandywine High School. How on earth could you call a high school?
I know, can you believe that?
Brandywine.
I can't believe it either. And and the school itself, because it was an area called Brandywine 100. The district was Brandywine 100. And that school, long before I got there, had a reputation of being the notorious drinkers of all the high schools. To call it Brandywine was just, everybody would just, it was like more than a joke. It was like, are you kidding me? Can it really be a school called that?
Yes.
And I graduated from that school. I graduated from the school. Not, you know, alcohol-wise.
Yes, as a drinker.
I graduated from scholastically, if you want to say that, academically.
In the days of political correctness, it's just hard to imagine that there could be a high school called Brandywine High School.
If you leave out school, you just say Brandywine High. I mean, that's crazy.
Yes, it just blows the mind. Well, you've blown my mind already with the Get a Haircut as well, particularly that connection to Cairns. But look, I want to talk to you about, because you've become such a well-known singer, but you said in the early days, I knew the guitar was going to catch the audience's ear more than the voice would. But of course, you've had an incredible journey, and your voice is synonymous with just so many, you know, guttural, tough, you know, blues types of songs these days.
Technically, if someone said, well, some people are a baritone or a tenor or whatever, my style is gut bucket. It always has been, and that's part of that is natural, and part of that is something that I've honed it over the years, saying, well, it just kind of fits the music and the songs that we play. So, you know, as time goes on, as my voice might get deeper and gruffer, they can't say, well, the guy's lost it because I could never sing anyway. So time has been good to me.
Well, you learned to play the guitar pretty damn well over the years as well. So the combination of age, maybe a few scotches, beers and wines and all the rest have probably helped. Look, to wrap us up, and of course we are leading up to the 5th of November here at the Cairns Convention Centre. I mean, this guy's amazing. 8,000 live shows and counting. He's got 30 on the cards just over the next month or so. But look, I want you to tell me, what do you love more, Tom Petty or baseball?
Well, Tom Petty is got to remain high on the list. I mean, he's Tom Petty is the one who did it. When I say it, I mean it with a capital I. You got to follow me on some. Tom Petty is of the second or third generation of rock people. Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and Mellencamp and Bonnie Raitt, people like that. And if dare I say myself. But Tom Petty is the one who broke into the Holy Grail of rock, meaning he got accepted into the royalty. There's no higher level of rock when he did music with the Beatles and Bob Dylan. So when he worked with George Harrison and he worked with Bob Dylan, Tom Petty is somebody that I never had a chance of our generation who reached the top, who reached the peak. I mean,
sure.
When we were kids, that was it. That was it. It was Bob Dylan, the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones. So when you break that into that, and remember something, Bob Dylan and the Beatles, George Harrison, are not people that take them into their court very casually. You have to earn it. And Tom Petty did that. Mm. And they'll never be able to take that away from him. And even if somebody else does that, he'll be the first one who actually did. And for that, I if I wore a hat, I would more than tip my hat to him. And I never got a chance to tell him that, because we were pretty much in the same age category. And I know what he was doing in the 10th and the 11th grade. Same thing I was doing, getting kicked out of high school, trying to make your hair look like Keith Richards and trying to sing like Bob Dylan. We all did. That was, you know, that was part of our background. Tom Petty can't fool me. I had the first picture I saw of him. I said, well, he looks like a combination of Brian Jones and the Birds and Dylan, and he's got it all going on at the same time. So quite naturally, he made it. Now, as far as baseball goes, that's not even a comparison, Tom Petty or baseball. I mean, come on. Baseball's a professional sport. Tom Petty is someone who has achieved almost the unachievable.
He's a professional sport, is what we call him in Australia. Try that at one of the bars in Australia and you might do okay. Hey, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you this morning. We've had some really good laughs, actually. You're an amazing man. You just keep going. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, 5th of November here at the Cairns Convention Centre. Come and enjoy the show. George, have a wonderful day and thank you so much for your time today.
A rebel without a clue.
I was a rebel from the day I left school.